Father God, as I stand before here, Lord, I ask that it be to your glory, Lord, that not to glorify self, but to glorify you, Lord, and to uplift you and to give hope and encouragement to the brethren here, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome. So wonderful to have so many of you here. I didn't realize there was going to be so many of you here, so praise God. I've been blessed to attend ASANS. This is my second year, and but I need to give you some background to really share how God has worked and how programs like ASANS and the Youth Conference can really equip us and grow our walk. And I'm really going to talk about God's restorative power because he really wants to restore us. His plan has been, we were created in his image and sin separated us. And the plan of salvation is to restore us back to the image of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. I was born in Christchurch, but only lived there a while. Lived in Porirua for a while, so, you know, I'm kind of local. But I grew up in a town called Ngarawahia. I don't know if many of you have heard of it, but it was originally going to be the capital of New Zealand. So, yeah, and I guess I was four when I moved to Ngarawahia. My father was in the military. And moving to Ngarawahia changed my life because when I moved to Ngarawahia, we were close to my father's family. And excuse me, I'm a bit of a crier, but we were close to his family, and I had an uncle, and he molested me. Well, that was my childhood, I guess, which was okay, you know. I mean, I've got a beautiful family. We were raised really strong Catholics, you know, and if you don't know any better, that's your life, you know, and you assimilate it. Children just assimilate these hurts into their life, you know, and so we had a very Christian family. My parents, we were very strong Catholics, you know, and praise God for that because I always knew there was a God. And I mean, I wanted to be a nun at one stage, you know, and I prayed to Mary having no other knowledge, but I know that God took those prayers and took them to heaven. So yeah, you know, that was my childhood, and I guess, you know, when you have these experiences, they do mar you, you know, you know, I was pretty mixed up, you know, when we open these things, and unfortunately society is doing that to our girls. When you open that sexual side of ourselves early, it just leads to so much heartache, you know, and I always used to wonder why my other uncles never did it, you know, but yeah, so that was my life then, so, and just totally normal, like I accepted that as that was how it was, you know, that is what happened to you. And it wasn't until I was about 11, and I remember thinking, you know, because back then it was all stranger danger, you know, and it was never anyone close to you. And I remember thinking, actually, I don't think this is right, you know, I don't think this is what is meant to be happening to me. And I just remember so specifically one day being at home, and it was just me and my brother, and my uncle was there babysitting us, and I just remember he sent my brother away, my older brother, and I just remember thinking, Lord, I remember pleading, please don't leave me here with him, you know, but my brother left, and I remember that day I just knew, you know, this wasn't right, and this wasn't normal, and I remember saying to my parents came home, and I remember saying telling my mother, you know, and unfortunately in our family, you know, they didn't cope well with that, and as in many families, you know, when I told, they didn't really know what to do, and so it fractured our family, you know. They chose to side with him, and I mean, it wasn't just me. I mean, he was a serial offender, you know, and so we sort of lost everything, and it didn't just impact me, and this is why I share, because it impacted my whole family. I mean, all my brothers lost their family, my older brother Patrick, it just ate away at him because he felt he never protected me from it, you know, and so what that brings in is hate, and hate is very destructive, you know. And God is in the business of forgiveness and restoration, and that is an essential message, because forgiveness is not for us. For them, it's for us. So that, you know, that was my childhood, and so, you know, my family, my grandmother, they just saw me as that I was crucifying him and persecuting him only because I wanted to stand up for what was right. And so we didn't have much to do with them. And around about the same time, my father became an Adventist. He started working for an Adventist, and was led into truth, because Jeremiah 31:3 says, you know, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I draw you. And he draws each of us, and he drew my father into Adventism. And praise God for that. I mean, it's a beautiful truth. So, you know, he said, oh, we're not going to church on Sunday anymore. I said, praise the Lord, we'll be like every other Catholic, you know, nominal. And they said, we're going to church on a Saturday. I said, what? I mean, who ever heard of anyone going to church on a Saturday? So, yes, so we became Adventists, and praise the Lord, you know, and that was wonderful. So we'd lost our family, but we joined the Adventist family, and that was a blessing. I was never converted, you know, so the minute I could leave, I left, my older brother and I, you know, but the seed is laying, and parents remember that, you know, the seed is in there, and truth sits in there dormant, but it will flourish. So that was it, and from, I guess, the experiences in my childhood, I, as Carl shared the other night, you begin to dull it with alcohol and drugs, you know, and for a time it seems very pleasurable, you know, and having been manipulated by men, I guess I sought to manipulate, you know, and which wasn't healthy, and so, and that was good. And then when I was 19, my father fell out of the church, you know, and he left my mother, you know, he was an elder, and people had looked up to him, you know, and he was such a godly man, and he went home one day and said to my mother, you know, I don't love you anymore, and he walked out on her, and that was extremely humiliating for her, because she had stood by him, she had followed him into a church, and she had never been converted. I mean, I knew that now. And then he left her, and my family fell apart, you know, my little brothers, especially my brother Matthew, who's near me, they bore the brunt of it. My brother and I were out of home then, and we were partying, and, you know, we just stayed right away. So we had all left, and Satan does that. He will get into families, and if he can knock one of you over, you know, he took my whole family out, you know, and twisted my brothers. They became very anti-God, you think, who could ever make beauty out of that? You know, ash, our family had become ash. And there was so much hurt, you know. So we carried on like that for a while. And then, praise God, you know, he never gives up on us. He's constantly seeking for us. And in my heart, I'd always known it was right. And he caused me to fall pregnant. I mean, he didn't cause me. I mean, you know what I mean? But choices I made, I fell pregnant at 21, and I praise God for that, you know, because our babies teach us about God's love, and I believe they lead us back. And when I had my daughter, I just thought, you know, I can't live like this anymore. I can't be out partying. And so he began to draw me back. You know, for some of us, it's the Damascus Road experience where immediately we're converted, but for most of us, it's a series of steps where he leads us and guides us, and he knows what we can handle at certain times. So I started thinking, you know, I had my daughter, and I started thinking about church, and then I fell pregnant again, and I was really devastated. And I remember my now husband, his mother had an accident, and I remember praying, you know, I just found out I was pregnant, and I knew it would devastate him if she died, and I prayed to God. And it's funny, because we have to go right down to the bottom often before we call. And I prayed to him and I said, if you can save my mother-in-law, I will come back. But you know what? I didn't even go back. Like, he took me back because I prayed it, and he honors our prayers because I carried on. You know, I prayed that prayer and she got better, and I carried on in my life. But, you know, I started going back to church and, you know, started growing in the Lord. And so I started it, yeah, I slowly, when I would go to church occasionally, and then more and more. And it isn't always about a feeling, because if you're waiting for the feeling, it isn't always going to come. The Word says the way we should walk, and I knew certain things were right. I was going to church and I thought, okay, I'm going to get baptized. I don't think in my heart I was fully converted, but I knew that it was right. And so I thought, you know, okay, I'm going to take the step. And at this time, I don't even think, were Mum and Dad back together then? Maybe they were. Just, okay, prior to that, my daughter was at the Catholic school, which I know seems odd, but we were in Ngarawa here, and it was the only Christian school there, so we started sending her. But God troubled my heart heavily over that. He just said, you cannot be sending her to that school. You know what the truth is. And I just, yes, Lord, you're right. And we have a really good church school in Hamilton. And he said, you know, you need to send her in there. And I prayed, you know, I'd wake at night, Lord, how is this going to happen? You know, I know she needs to go there. And this is the beginning of the restoration. You know, when you start to walk the way he wants you, he just wants to pour his blessings out into our life. And he said, you know, you need to move back into Hamilton. And I thought, okay, the best way is I need a house in Hamilton. And I prayed about it. And my mum came to me, because my mum was living in Hamilton now. My dad was in Ngarawa here. And they'd been separated for 8 years. And my father had gone from being an extremely godly man. He'd been an alcoholic when I was a child, but he had joined AA, and he was an extremely godly man. He had gone right. He left my mum. And you know, when you take your step away from God, he doesn't want you to leave his fold, but when you do, he cannot always stop the consequences. And he left, and he just became a shell of a man. He started drinking, we lived with him. I'd gone to live with him because he was so lonely and tortured. And he would just drink and talk about my mother. And if you ever want an example of a man without God, it was just horrific, you know. And I mean, to go from a man, you could see God in him, I remember picking him up. You know, he was paralytic and he was vomiting. I mean, this was my father, you know, who I had idolized all my life. And I just thought, this cannot be the way, you know. And so I lived with him because I couldn't leave him on his own. And my baby brother was there and he was 14. And, you know, gosh, you know, and so that is a man without God. And it was so rebuking to me because I thought, oh, you know, we need God, we need his grace, because when we are apart from him, we are so carnal. There is no good in us apart from God. And so I lived with him, but he was starting to get his life. He was still sort of drinking, but God troubled me and said, you need to send them to the church school. So I prayed and I said to my mother, I just went and saw her one day. She said, look, you know, I'm tired of this house. I want to move out. And I said, look, you know, that was my aunt. So I said, can we rent your house? And she said, yes, you can. And then my father said to her after 7 years, you know, why don't you come back and live with me? And so they moved back in together, you know, and that was the beginning. And not a word passed her lips ever. And this is a forgiving heart. She moved back in with my father after he had humiliated her in front of the whole church. And never a word of reproach has passed your lips. So they moved back in together. Praise God. None of them are going to church at this time. And so that was wonderful. And then I got baptized. And all my brothers came, because we have a very loving family. And they all came to my baptism, and my husband. And my husband was not into God at all. And I'm not always the easiest person to live with. But, you know, God said, you need to get baptized. And I knew it was right. And so I said, yes, I will take that step. So I went to that baptism, and they all came, and they all hated it. And they felt rebuked. And my husband said, I'm never going back to your church again, because our pastor wasn't particularly subtle. Yes, that's the word. I mean, they were all druggies and, you know. Anyway. Sorry, I'll be honest, though. So I get baptized, and unfortunately, as is often in our church, just left to hang out and dry, you know. Baptized, no support, and oh, I struggled. But praise God for a program called the New Zealand Youth Conference. And someone said to me, you should go to this. And I thought, you know what, I will. And I left my children, and I went, and I learnt about prayer, and I learnt so much. And I came back, and I went, my father had the children, and I went home to him, and I said, who are you to think that you have gone so far that God will not take you back? You know, who are we to think I'm such a sinner, I'm the most sinful person, that God's grace will not cover me? And I did rebuke him because I was just so on fire. And I rebuked my older brother and I said, you know, God loves you. And my father was like, yeah. And he started coming back to church, praise God. You know, praise God. And so my mum came back to church and as well, and that was the story, because she actually had a real conversion. And so praise God, I had my parents. I'd been dragging my kids to church for years by myself. And then my mum and dad came back. And they were more in love than ever. And that was only God, you know. And so that was wonderful, and my heart was full. And, you know, they started that journey, and then so I carried on, you know, and then and my older brother started coming back, but he still has a struggle, you know, because you cannot hold on to the world in Christ, you know. He asks for it all, but he will restore and then some, you know. My life was so hurt. There was hate and hurt, you know, without him, but I've seen him working. And so he restored my parents' marriage. After 7 years, they were more in love than ever and both converted, you know, and I mean, it was so beautiful. And so that was wonderful, and a wonderful witness to my children. And then last year I came to ASEANS, you know, and I met a man called Dan Augsburger. And it's not that it was him, but it's what he's teaching, which is the gospel, you know. God in us, that is the power of salvation. Empty of self, and he can dwell in you. Just a little thing. Prior to this, he had convicted me. My grandmother had she hadn't spoken to me since I was 16, you know. I'd stood up when another cousin of mine had said, you know, I was molested too, and my family, well, they would not support her. And I was like, well, I'll support you, because no one else supported me, and except for my parents. And my grandmother said, you know, I don't want to have really anything to do with you anymore, and which was hurtful. But God had said to me prior to ASEANS, you know, you really, she died a few years ago. He said, you need to forgive her. And he troubled my heart. You know how he does? And I was like, oh, yes, Lord, I'll write her a letter. I will write to her. And then one day, I was walking through the warehouse of all places, because I'm a romantic. And when I have powerful moments, you know, you want the right lighting and the right music. And I was walking in the warehouse one afternoon, and I turned into an aisle, and there was my grandmother with my two aunties, and I hadn't seen my grandmother for like 12 years, you know. And I saw her, and I just went over to her, you know, she, you know, and I just said, I love you, Nanny. And I really did. That's what I realized. And I had been angry with her, but you know what? God changes your heart. And I got to, and that was God's grace for me, because I got to forgive her before she died, because she died a few months later, you know. And that's how much she loves us. And so, praise God, I got to forgive her, and then she died. You know, and that was okay. And, sorry I'm jumping over. But I go back, and so my parents were restored, you know, praise God. And then I came to ASEANS, and Dan preached the thing on an abundant life because we can all be victorious Christians. And so, you know, I learned so much about prayer. And I came last year and I remember going home and I was getting up at 4:30 and I was praying big prayers. And I remember praying and God showed me all, he showed me when I was praying, four men at the front of our church, all in black. And I've got four brothers and I was just like, that's my boys. So I text them all at 5:30 in the morning and they're all like, oh, Catherine, this is so crazy with your Christianity. But I was like, God showed me. I said, God showed me you all at the front of my at the church, you know, and I'm praying for you guys. And that was in July. My parents decided to get baptized, so praise God, you know. So they'd been coming to church, but, you know, it was so beautiful to see my mum and dad stand in that font together, eh, and just recommit to God. And that was beautiful. So I prayed. I was praying big prayers. And God is going, you need to forgive your uncle. He started to convict me. And I was like, oh, man, that's a big ask, you know. Because, you know, it had taken so much from our family. But, you know, by God's grace, he said, you need to do this. And I said, yes, Lord, I will. I will do this. And so I rang my family and I said, God has told me I need to forgive Sean. So we're going to have a dinner. And I want you guys to all come. Because what Dan said is, you cannot have anything in your life that will prevent God from working. And unforgiveness is something that will prevent God from filling you completely, which is the gospel, you know? And why would we want to hold on to anything that impedes God's working in our life? And I was so convicted on that. And I said, yes, yes, Lord, I will. So I rang my family and I rang my aunties. We're going to have this dinner. Thank you. And I rang my brothers. Oh, they didn't like that. Because they didn't want to forgive him. Because they love me. And they'd lost family too. But they all said they'd come except for one, and that is my brother Matthew. And he is like, I cannot forgive that man. And I said, okay, bro, I said, but I really want you to come. And then, praise God, because we had the dinner, and the day before, my brother saw my uncle at a service station, and he said, I saw him, and I was okay. And that was God's mercy for my brother, you know? And so he said, I will come. And I thought, praise the Lord. And it was so hard for my mother because, oh, I was her girl and that was my father's brother. And she was so angry. But you know what? I was like, no, we need to do this. Not for him, for us. And so we had the dinner and they all came and, oh, you know, I love my brothers, but when I saw my brother Matt walk through, I was so proud of him, you know, because he's the one, just the one next to me, and he's so fiercely loves me, and so praise God, you know. So we had the dinner, and I could stand up because I had to come to the point where I realised God loved him as much as me. And we can tend to think that people are worse than us, but he was a child of God as well, you know, and I said that to him. You are a child of God as much as I. And he wasn't sorry. I mean, he didn't say sorry. But that wasn't the point. And praise God, you know what, after that, he just poured out his spirit and it was not me. It is all God. Because a month later, my brother Anthony came to my house and he said, I want what you have. You know? And it wasn't even me, it was God. And he said, I want that because I'm lacking something. And don't get me wrong, because this is a series of things. It is people impact people in different ways, you know, but he wants to pull the spirit out. And if we hold on to things, he can't work fully in our lives. And all of them had made that choice to forgive as well. And so Anthony came last year to my house in August, because I'd been here in July, and he said, I want what you have. And I said, wow, cool, you know. So I started working with him, and I'm big on discipleship. And when you commit to someone, you commit I would drive him places. I'd ring him up. I'd text him. He'd come to my house. And then he decided to go to an archaeology seminar. And it was something our church was running. And I was still praying big prayers. But I just chucked this flyer on the table. And then my husband saw it. And he said, I might go to this. And I said, okay. And my husband was, you know, I'd be praying in the morning and he'd come in and say good morning, and if I was in the middle of the prayer and didn't respond straight away, he'd be like, you and your God. But you know what? Because that's another prayer, because I'd prayed to God to help me to love him, because we had 2 children young, and I don't, you know, he probably didn't always love me either, you know, we were young, but God told me it was right that I stay with him. And it doesn't always feel good to walk the way God wants you to. But I purposed in my, I said, I'm going to stick with this man. Lord, you've got to help me to love him. And he honored that, you know. And so my husband decides to go with my little bro, who I'd been working with. And he went to this archaeology thing because he'd said to me, oh, I'm waiting for a sign. I'm like, if you're waiting for a sign, you're going to be deceived. But it was just some archaeology, praise the Lord. So he went, and instantly he was converted. Like the Monday night, he came home just glowing with the Holy Spirit. And it was just like, it's true. And so he started this journey with Anthony, you know, praise God. And then we had an outreach, and they started coming, and we're so convicted. And that was so beautiful. And then, you know, Matthew came, and I just have such a burden for my brother Matthew, because he is such a loss. He was the lost sheep. He was the black sheep of our family, you know. He is so much God. He was like a preacher, and then when God destroyed our family, he destroyed that spark in him, you know, because that is Satan. He will do whatever it takes to destroy you if you don't keep your eyes on Jesus. And Matthew came, we prayed, and my father prayed for Matthew to come to that outreach. And he went home one night, and he just wanted to sit down and have a cigarette and a beer. And he was so convicted by God that he got in his car and drove into the outreach. And that night, when there was an old call, Matthew stood up with these, you know, with my husband and my brother, to commit his life to God, you know. And it was like, praise God, you know. And so he worked so powerfully. And last year in December, you know, I got to see what I had prayed. God had shown me. I saw the 4 of them at the front of that church, 3 of my brothers and my husband, commit to God, you know. And I praise God because he is in the business of restoration. And guess what? The last one is baptized in July. This, you know, James, he's getting baptized in 3 weeks, is it, bro? 2 weeks? There was one left, and God has done that. And not just through me, through so many, you know. But God wants to work through us, and we limit him. And if you are holding on to anything, my prayer is that you will, you know, give it over to God, because forgiveness is for us. And so praise God. Praise God for events like this where we learn so much. And just in closing, I just really want to read. I read this passage at the baptism of the boys, but it's so pertinent to us, and it's Ephesians 3 verse 14 to 21, and this is my prayer for all of you. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, which is the transforming Spirit of him in us, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, because he does want to. You know, he says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will hear you and show you great and mighty things. And he is doing that. He is effecting revival in this land. And it begins with us. The revival begins in our hearts. hearts. We need to examine our hearts and what is in our hearts that is preventing God from working, because I can tell you, He will work powerfully if you allow Him. He wants to restore families. He wants to restore us into the image He created us. And I praise God, because I look now at my family and there are godly men there. And that is the power of God. And praise God. And so thank you. And thank you for letting me share. And all glory to God. Amen.